Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Nathan Morris of the one and only Boys to Men. Sir, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Now, you're Skyping with us from where? From Vegas?
I just landed in Vegas for our concerts here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So
that's the background. That's the harmonizing I can hear behind
you. That's the atmosphere of Vegas. Just nobody fell out drunk yet. So
the key word is probably yet. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, without a doubt.
All right. Now, obviously, the reason we're talking to Nathan and the guys is because Boys to Men are coming to the Kennedy Center to play with the NSO Pops on Friday, May 20th, and Saturday, May 21st. It's just such a cool idea. I know the NSO has played with Nas before. They had Kendrick Lamar here really recently, and now Boys to Men. So this is going to be really cool. Were you aware of the Kendrick and the Nas shows?
No, I actually wasn't. I know that we've been doing these shows for over 5 years now.
Yeah.
We started in Japan. We did a tour there where we did about two to three weeks, about 22 shows, and then we decided to bring it here to America, and we've done a bunch of them since then, but I didn't know about the other artists at all.
Yeah, I spoke with the guy's name, Steven Reinecke. He'll be conducting the NSO. I spoke with him the other day. He's the one that conducted for Kendrick and everybody. Have you guys worked closely with him yet, or is that after you get into town?
Once we get in, we do our sound check, and we get in with the orchestra and kind of go through some things, and that's probably going to be all day of the show. So.
I gotcha. So since you said you've done it a couple times there in different countries with different orchestras, but let's say our listeners have never heard sort of a pop R&B group they've heard on the radio backed by an orchestra before. Let's say this is their first time. Explain how epic it's going to be to have, strings and horns and like an actual orchestra backing you all up.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a different atmosphere. I mean, one of the reasons why we wanted to do it is because, we come from a musical background. We went to the high school for creative performing arts, and we all studied vocal music. I actually was in an orchestra for since third grade to ninth grade. Anyway, I played trumpet, so all this music is a part of who we are. And to take what we've done in our career and kind of strip it down and let people hear an orchestral arrangement of it is completely different from what most people are doing. And it's got a lot of different energy to it. But we don't do. We do some of the typical, Boys to Men songs that everybody knows, the hits, but there are a lot of songs that we pull off of a lot of our albums that we do that are strictly, they just sound so much better with an orchestra accompaniment. So that's the reason why we made the set list that way.
What are some of the deep cuts, if you don't mind giving us a little tease?
Well, I mean, obviously we do the traditional, I'll Make Love to You's and Bended Knees and stuff like that, but we go to some of our other albums and we pull off songs like Girl in the Life magazine and, some soundtracks. I Will Get There. So we do a lot of different stuff.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I've been listening to your stuff for forever, so I'll love even those deeper ones, my friend.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's great. You mentioned sort of your days coming up and you were learning the trumpet and everything. Now, I believe you founded the group, right? You're the eldest founding member of the group?
Yes, sir. That's me.
Take me back to that moment, that first time, you rounded up the boys. Were you really, did you really back in school dream about this every day and started the group and here we are? What's the actual story?
Well, yeah, they actually dreamed about it every day. I just made a group because I was bored. I got stuck in a performing arts school, and I really wanted to go to a school that had a better athletic program because my goal was to play professional football, but my mom forced me into this school, and I was bored and had nothing to do, so I figured I'd make a group. That's how I got started.
What position were you on the gridiron?
I would have played either wide receiver or tight end. I'd have bulked up to play tight end.
All right. You're okay with how everything turned out, though?
I can't complain. Not at all. I would have retired like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you heard the four of you all are harmonized? Did you say, wow, this could be something?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's the thing that kind of kept us all together was what we heard come out of our mouths. We hadn't heard from, anything else that we've ever done personally, individually, or outside. So, we just fell in love with the sound that we could make.
Absolutely. And take me to the first time that you guys heard something of yours sort of blow up on the radio. What was the first one? Was it Motown Philly?
Yeah, it was Motown, Philly. I mean, all of us were, you know, in different places when we heard it. I mean, Sean and I actually happened to be together driving in my then sister-in-law's car and almost rode off the highway at that time.
That's so awesome. Where did that one come from? Who wrote it?
Actually, Sean and myself wrote it. Michael Bivens gave us a concept and said we should write a song about Motown Philly. At that time, we happened to be on Motown Records, and we were from Philly, so, you know, we just decided to come up with a story about, you know, how we got started and where we came from and give people a little insight to, you know, Philly and what we were about. So,
yeah, and
we actually wrote that in my backyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, that thing features so many of your little, your cool little harmonies and runs, your dad up to dad, all that stuff. It's like, it said, this is who we are and we're here to stay.
Yeah, that's definitely, it was all, you know, set up to give a little piece of what we were musically and personally in our our chronological history, I guess you say.
Love it. Let's run through it. Speaking of chronological history, let's run through it, but a little quicker, because I don't want to get too bogged down in them. But, you know, maybe a little more rapid fire. Just tell me where you were sort of when each of these came about. End of the Road. How'd that one come up?
We got a call that Babyface wanted us to do a song for his Boomerang soundtrack that Eddie Murphy was in, and, you know, we're big Eddie Murphy fans, so it was a no-brainer for us. We just went in and recorded in Philly. I mean, we did it in like a day because we were on the road like crazy at that time. And we did the song, recorded it, and didn't hear back about the song for about 3, 4, or 5 months. And all of a sudden, it came out and started climbing the charts.
It definitely climbed. How about It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday?
That was a song that we used to sing back in the day at a bunch of funerals. We used to be the funeral group. Yeah. Every time somebody died, they called us, so... We used to sing that all the time, and then we just decided to put it on our album.
Perfect. I loved your second album with the Roman numeral 2 on the front, the blue cover. I love Thank You. I think feel like that's one of your more underrated ones. Do you agree? Do you guys still play that a lot?
We don't as much as we used to, but we it is a big favorite of ours. You know, kind of stripped down version of Take 6, and which we looked up to. So it was that was one of our, we really loved that record.
Love that song. Well, while that one's a little underrated, I'll Make Love to You was a massive hit. Where did that one come from?
Well, that was a song we didn't want to do. we told the label that we didn't want to do it because it sounded too much like End of the Road, which it did. And, you know, artists sometimes want to change and do different stuff. And the label said, we don't really care what you think. We already heard people say that this is a hit, so you're going to sing it and put it out, and that's what it is. And there's I'll Make Love to You.
And it was a hit. almost as big of a hit, On Bended Knee. Where did that one come from?
That was a song we just fell in love with as soon as we heard the instrumental of it. I mean, Jimmy Jam played it for us, and he sang on top of it, had some really, really horrible vocals. But we really didn't care because the music was just so beautiful that we knew once we got on it that it would be magical.
And Water Runs Dry. Any similar story with that one?
Well, that's a song that we actually sat down in Babyface's house. I think this was a couple of days after the big earthquake out in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
We went and sat down with him and sat around a guitar, and we kind of wrote the hook to Water Runs Dry. And then a couple of days later, we got in the studio, and Face had finished up the rest of the song, and we went and knocked it out. So.
You knocked it out of the park when you knocked it out. What?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. What about your guys' duet with Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day? One of those great sad. You know, you could play it at a funeral. You mentioned funerals earlier. You could play it whenever, but it's just such a it's a chilling goosebump song.
Yeah, we got a call that she wanted to work with us, and we all got in the studio, and she let us hear the song she was working on. And it's ironic that I happened to be writing a song that was similar at the same time about our road manager who had passed away. And so we actually got in the studio and we combined it, both of my song and her song, and we came up with One Sweet Day.
Definitely. Do you remember which one came out first? Did that come out? I feel like it came out around the same time as the Puff Daddy Biggie song, their goodbye song.
I think their song was out first.
That one was out first? Okay. I'm trying to get the timeline. All right. Well, I know your next album was awesome. It had Four Seasons of Loneliness on it. What was the idea? Here in D.C., we get all four seasons. But tell me how you converted that sort of into talking about a romance, but through the seasons.
Yeah, that was a Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis record, man. And again, it was one of those beautiful songs that we heard and we just fell in love with. I mean, they just got a certain sound, man. I just kind of tough to turn their songs down.
And you made proud for on a Mother's Day playing Song for Mama. Where did that one come from?
Oh, that was actually another soundtrack. Babyface was doing his record label thing at the time, and the song was, trying to remember what the movie was. Can't remember what the movie was, but
we'll look it up.
It was a song for his movie soundtrack, and we wound up putting it on our album.
And another one, I feel like a lot of people don't remember, but your Christmas album, I thought kicked so much butt. I love Let It Snow, which was a completely different take. It's not the old Dean Martin Let It Snow lyrics. It's your own one. I love it. And Silent Night, I thought that worked perfect for your harmonies. Do you guys still get requests for that around the holidays? I'm sure you do.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, normally we're in Vegas during the holidays, so we wind up doing some of those songs while we're here.
Yeah. Now, I know the big fella has left, and so it's not four anymore, right? Now it's three of you guys, right? For how many years?
Yeah, he's gone. He's actually been gone, honestly. A lot of people don't go. He's been gone almost 16 years.
God, it's been that long?
So, yeah, he left in 99, 2000.
Wow. Well, it still works. I heard you guys down at Ford's Theater. You came here like a year ago for some honor thing at Ford's Theater, and you sounded just the same. It was great. So
appreciate that.
I don't want to say you don't even miss him, but you know, I'm sure you miss him. But at the same time, it's you guys are you're still doing.
Yeah, I mean, the show must go on. You got to keep it moving. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to hear the music, and you can't just stop it.
Exactly. Let's close out sort of on this note. A lot of people don't maybe not realize you guys are the top selling R&B group of all time. Like that, I feel like a lot of people don't even realize that. That means you're knocking out. There's a bunch of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, the Temptations, Four Tops, Motown,
Jackson 5,
So do you think, we had this debate in the newsroom the other day, you know, because NWA got in the Rock Hall this year and there was all this,
is that rock
music? I personally think they're sort of the role, you know, there's rock and there's roll. But do you think that there's precedent for you all to get in? Because you don't think Boyz II Men rock guitar, rock Hall of Fame, but honestly, it's sort of expanding and the precedent's there.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, you know, you don't think NWA in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame either because it's rap music. But, I mean, I think, you know, with this year, that's 25 years, we are actually candidates to be in now. So one of the things is you have to be in the business for 25 years or something like that. So we're on the docket. It's just a matter of if we get in. I mean, our very first American Music Award was for a rock category, pop rock category. So,
nice.
I mean, it wouldn't be anything new. It's just a matter of people want to put us in.
I think you guys absolutely deserve it. If all those Motown groups are in, then Motown Philly deserves to be in because you guys are you're the top selling. You've outsold them all. So.
Yeah, it would be nice. It'd be great to have your kids show up. See your dad going to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It'd be nice.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep, as our entertainment editor, I'm going to keep up that drum beat because we need to get y'all in there.
I appreciate that so much.
Awesome. Well, anything else about the Kennedy Center show? You know, if our listeners are hearing this, they're driving down the road and they hear it and they say, oh, I love Boyz II Men. Why should they
just let them know that this is not a typical Boyz II Men concert. So even if they've seen us before, they've never seen anything like this.
And if they've never seen you, they'll still see all the good hits, too.
Oh, yeah. They definitely want to come check this one out. It's a really, really classy show.
All right. Nathan Morse, thanks so much for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you Friday, May 20th, Saturday, May 21st at the Kennedy Center with the NSO Pops, Boyz II Men. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye.